Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining me today on this Columbus Day. We are here and we are live. Now, I'm sure a lot of people are seeing the stories about why Columbus Day is no longer Columbus Day. It's Indigenous Peoples Day. If you follow Elizabeth Warren on Twitter, she is celebrating Native Americans today. And I'm sure she's not expecting that anyone will pick up on the irony of that. But that's not the only wokeness that is really breaking forward today. There's a crazy story out of California. And I just want to say, Gavin Newsom, I actually wrote about this over the weekend for Spectator. You can check that out at spectatorworld.com. But Gavin Newsom seems to have a new joie de vivre after his near-death political experience. He's come back with a vengeance. He's like, oh, you tried to kill me. Well, I'm back and I'm better than ever. And he's flashing that scary robotic-looking smile everywhere he goes. He's got his hair gel, he's got his podium, and he is just spewing nonsense at all times. Last week, it came out, I think it was on Friday, he announced that kids from K through 12 were going to be mandated to get the vaccine. That was the first state in the country to decide to do that, was California. He's also, I saw over the weekend, there was a headline that ethnic studies is going to be a class required for California students to graduate. A lot of the things he is implementing, a lot of these new policies and laws, they have to do with just virtue signaling, you know, a nod to all the Democrats who kept him in power, despite what a complete bleep show California is. But this latest thing takes virtue signaling to a whole new level. It reads like a Babylon Bee article. In fact, there was a Babylon Bee headline about this. And so it basically is woke or joke come true for the Babylon Bee. Governor Gavin Newsom mandates gender neutral toy aisles.
Governor, Not a joke.
I wish this was a joke. Under the state law, stores affected must designate an area of the children's toy aisle gender neutral, regardless if those items are traditionally sold for girls or boys, like Barbies and Hot Wheels. Now, I don't claim to understand this new woke world we live in because it really escapes me, a lot of this stuff. I don't have a grasp of what this is getting at or what this is intended to do, besides have Gavin Newsom feel good, like he's making a difference for these progressives. But I do want to say, in the case of this, doesn't this kind of defeat the purpose? Because you're therefore saying that Hot Wheels is for boys. And if you really wanted to make a gender neutral aisle, wouldn't you just say the whole store is gender neutral? You know, a boy can pick any toys he wants, a girl can pick any toys he wants. I played with like Hot Wheels and stuff like that. I'm not saying it was my favorite. I much preferred my American Girl dolls, which, by the way, my sister, as a toddler, drew on all their faces. And if she's listening, which she's not, I'm still upset about that. It was like four dolls ruined in an instant. But most of these toys, kids play with toys. It's like we're making kids more aware of their differences than ever before. We're so obsessed with making kids think that everything's fair and everything's equal and no one's a boy and no one's a girl that we're doing the opposite. Like, if a boy wants to play with a Barbie doll, who cares? But you have to have an entire aisle where it's like, so what's it going to be? It's not going to be Barbies and it's not going to be Hot Wheels because those are too masculine or too feminine. So what's it going to be? Blocks? I don't even understand. Jared, you look like you're about to explain this to me, and I wish you would.
I wish I had an explanation. The toy stores, which, by the way, I don't really think there are any. There are toy sections now. I think Toys R Us, when they went under, was kind of the last of the toy retailers. I don't know if FAO Schwartz is still out there, but that's about all that's left. They have toy sections, and it's like, okay, this is the game section. All of the games are here, whether they are, quote, boy games or, quote, girl games, they're here. This aisle is action figures. On the other side is fashion dolls, or whatever the hell they call Barbie. It's like they're already out and there, and there is no restriction for anybody to go into any section.
And you're making it more obvious that yes. There are certain toys that, oh, boys are supposed to play for, and certain toys that girls are supposed to play for. Like, wait, what's next? We're going to have gender-neutral movies? I went to James Bond, and I keep talking about it because I don't go see a lot of movies, and I especially hadn't seen one in a long time. And I'm sure, typically, men probably like to see that movie. You have the Bond girls, the guns, the action.
I used to, but...
I went and saw it. I thought it was very good. I actually thought it was excellent. I had a really good time seeing it. But that didn't stop me. Oh, this is typically a movie guys like, so I'm not going to go see it. Why are we labeling everything neutral now? And I actually saw a TikTok a couple weeks ago of these two people who raised their child as gender neutral. In other words, they never explained. I could, by the end of the video, I still didn't know if it was a boy or a girl, but they were letting their child choose and they were making everything neutral and they were never calling the child a pronoun. It's all so messed up. It's like we're trying too hard to be so progressive, and you're probably going to do long-term damage. Just like leave it alone.
Yeah, for everybody of these woke ilk that scream, oh, you have to let the child develop its own identity and its own this and that. This is literally throwing your idea of an identity on a child that you want us to assume you're letting them develop naturally.
Yeah, and the other...
It's crazy.
The other problem with this is that if a boy does want to play with a Barbie doll, which that happens, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure daycare teachers and in kindergarten, first grade, I'm sure they have dolls where the boys want to play. I remember my brothers, like, you know, I remember they wanted to play with my Beanie Babies, and you know what they ended up doing, Jared? This could be a whole segment.
They cut them open to see what was inside?
Very close. They turned the fan on full blast and their friends had Beanie Baby wars. And I came downstairs and it was just raining Beanie Babies. And I could feel the little pellets. And I thought, what's happening? It was a bloodbath. It was a bean bath. But yeah,
now,
boys.
Tell us, how does that make you feel?
Well, luckily they left.
This is a Dear Grace for Grace.
They left the Princess Diana one alone and the turkey. So that was good. Anyone who remembers Beanie Babies, you remember those ones. But I'm sure they played with my toys sometimes, but the problem nowadays is if your kid plays with a toy that doesn't align with their gender, that you can't just let that happen and let them, you know, figure out what they like and move on. Then it becomes, oh, Jimmy played with a Barbie. Jimmy must be thinking he's a woman. And it's like, no, no, no. Sometimes kids just do what kids do. You don't have to jump the gun on everything. All right. Now, that was just a slight topic that I did want to touch on that really quickly. Let's Go Brandon is not going anywhere. If you missed this, Let's Go Brandon was a chant that started when a NASCAR driver, he won his race. This was Brandon Brown, and he won the NASCAR Xfinity Series race last weekend, and a reporter was interviewing him, and you could hear Bleep Joe Biden in the background, and she said, oh wow, it looks like they're chanting Let's Go Brandon. So it became kind of a fun way for people to say Bleep Joe Biden without actually saying it. They could say it in a polite, socially acceptable way. You just say, Let's Go Brandon. In fact, some people are saying LGB.
Yeah,
Let's Go Brandon.
It's all over our Facebook comments as we're live during the day. They just keep rolling in. So everybody's getting on the Let's Go Brandon train.
Yeah, and Let's Go Brandon has made its way, I'm reading now from Red State, to all kinds of sporting events along with the original chant. This week was heard at New York Jets NFL football game and a Boston Red Sox playoff game. Really good weekend for sports, by the way. If anyone was watching, Patriots had a great game and the Red Sox last night. Country singer Travis Tritt said, I'm pretty sure I heard thousands in the audience chanting, Let's Go Brandon, as I left the stage last night in Tampa. And that's not all. It made it onto a billboard accompanied by a photo of Biden chomping on ice cream. Let's Go Brandon was paged at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. Now that's pretty funny, and it even made it to the Trump rally last night. Let's Go Brandon. So that is definitely not going away anytime soon. It seems to have caught on with people. And lastly, a really, really sad story here out of Georgia. I don't know if people saw this, but it's completely heartbreaking. Damian Ferguson was captured at his home and later charged with murdering Dylan Harrison. Early Saturday morning, the officer was working his first shift for the police department. Harrison was gunned down outside of the station house in what investigators described as an ambush-style attack. His picture was all over the news this morning. Young guy, family man, really, really horrible stuff. So our thoughts and prayers go out to that police officer. And speaking of police officers, I don't know if people saw this, but Morgan Freeman made a surprising comment. He said he's not in the least bit for defunding the police. This is what he told Black Enterprise magazine. Police work is...
get busy living or get busy dying.
Police work is, aside from all the negativity around it, it is very necessary for us to have them, and most of them are guys that are doing their job. There are some police that never pulled their guns except in rage, that sort of thing. I don't know. And then he actually has donated $1 million to establish the Center for Evidence-Based Policing and Reform at the University of Mississippi, intended to help train police from Mississippi and elsewhere. Now, this is the part of the conversation that people don't discuss enough, which is there has been a lot of effort by Republicans to pass police reform. No one has a problem with that, the idea that we need to train our police officers better. There have been some stories of police officers shooting citizens or their guns going off by mistake that have come across and become big news stories, where I myself had said, what's going on with these police officers? Like, why doesn't this person know what they're doing? So I think for the most part, police reform polls really well with Republicans. They were just completely stonewalled by Democrats who didn't want Trump to get anything through when he was president, unfortunately. But that's an interesting take there from Morgan Freeman. And it would appear that right now especially is not a time to defund the police, because nearly 40 people were shot during the weekend in Mayor Lori Lightfoot, Chicago, including a two-year-old girl was wounded in a shooting on Friday. I know a lot of that stuff is pretty heavy, but I do think it's vital that we keep talking about it, because there's the same people who want to focus on COVID and masks and kids learning critical race theory. They don't want to talk about two-year-olds getting shot over the weekend. How does our economy determine the value of an item? The price of the world's most valuable commodities are all set at auction. Items such as fine arts, antiques, coins, and classic cars are often priced through auction. The fish you just ate, the textiles that make up the clothes on your back, and the diamond on your finger, all of those items were originally priced through auction. So when it comes time to sell the most valuable commodity you own, your real estate, why not sell it at auction with JJ Manning? Their clients are intelligent decision makers who set the terms and sell their real estate quickly and contingency free in a competitive auction. There's no stigma and no distress in this process. Recent Howie and Grace listeners have seen upwards of 30 qualified bidders competing for their real estate. Now, here's the real key, because people hear auction and they say, well, what's the benefit of auction as opposed to just a regular real estate transaction? When you sell real estate traditionally, you have to pay the broker commission. But in a JJ Manning auction, the buyer pays. To learn more on how to get your residential, commercial, or land property sold quickly and contingency free, contact Charlie Gill. And I'm going to give you his number right now. I'll say it really slow. 800-521-0111. Or if you prefer to go online, you can go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Call Charlie Gill today at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. We will be back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit PerfectSmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question? And what are the results thus far?
What do you miss most about the before times? Low gas prices, limitless options at the grocery store, tax cuts, or mean tweets?
I'm going to say low gas prices.
Low gas prices up to 39%, 28% for mean tweets, 18% for limitless options at the grocery store, 15% for tax cuts.
Now, amid all of these problems that Joe Biden is having, whether it be with supply chains or, you know, COVID cases or these bills he's trying to get passed that Kristen Sinema, damn it, just will not allow to get through. It's all her fault, in case you haven't read the New Republic lately. But there's another problem, and that's at our southern border. Luckily for Joe, this does not fall under his purview as the president of the United States. He gave this one to Kamala Harris, the vice president. And thus far, she has claimed to have gotten to the root causes of all this.
I eat no for breakfast.
She's the border czar, and she thinks she got to the root cause of this issue by talking to governments in the Northern Triangle, those countries, and rooting out corruption, poverty, natural disasters, global warming. She fixed all of that in the Northern Triangle. I can't wait to see what she does here in the United States. I can only imagine the amount of progress we're going to make as a country when she uses those same skills here. But yet, there does seem to be other problems brewing at the southern border. I don't know if anyone's seen any of the drone footage, any of the thousands of Haitians who were trying to cross, living underneath the bridge in Del Rio. There's plenty of news articles out there about this, but I haven't heard from Kamala. In fact, the borders are over the weekend. This came out on Friday, and it was after my show, so I didn't have anyone pull it because it's a little old at this point. But there's video of her talking to these kids, and she's, I don't know if it's like a space thing. She's talking to them about how wonderful space is and how amazing it is. And even when she's talking to kids, she panders so hard. She's talking to like 12 or 13-year-olds. You'd think she was talking to 4-year-olds. She's like yelling at them. It's so amazing. Isn't space fun? The moon has craters. And the kids are even thinking to themselves, all right, pump the brakes, lady. You're coming off a bit phony. But she has not. So she's busy with that, talking to these kids about the moon. God knows what that has to do with the border. I'm sure in some way the moon and the craters and telescopes are going to help with the border crisis. But she's also doing something that she did before. She's visiting bakeries while all this is happening. Let's play cut 20.
So Alejandro Mayorkas, like you said, he was in Mexico talking to the Mexican president, and they were trying to figure out a deal on how to fight back against drug cartels. And drug cartels are one of the root causes of illegal immigration. And Kamala Harris is the border czar, addressing the root causes. So you think that she would want to be at that meeting. But instead, on Friday, she was in New Jersey at a bakery, and she also talked to kids about space exploration.
Yeah. It's the weirdest thing. That was from Fox News. I noticed that, too. Because the last time the border was, I mean, it's been terrible the entire time Joe Biden's been president. It's been getting worse and worse. But the last time it was really in the news a lot, she was also at a bakery. I think she was at a bakery in Chicago or something. And she was eating a slice of German chocolate cake. And when Psaki was asked about it, her response was like, oh, well, she needs to eat snacks, too. We all need a snack break once in a while. But where is she? I think we need to start doing a segment. Where in the world is Kamala Harris? Because she pops up every once in a while, but it's never about the issues she was supposed to fix.
It's like those old TV, Where's the Weather Girl Today?
Yeah, we'd have to guess. I mean, she always has a beautiful pantsuit on. In the videos with those kids, she had a nice light, like baby powder blue pantsuit on, and her hair's all done up just right. But nothing about the border. I don't know if maybe she thought the kids could offer some sort of solution. I don't know if they talked about it off camera. But it's amazing how this White House is so hands-off. I mean, Biden's nowhere to be seen. When he does come out, he doesn't take any questions. And Kamala Harris, it just doesn't seem like their hearts are even in this. Remember that day they won the election? In other words, you know, CNN and Fox called the election for them. And Kamala was out for a jog or something, and she called Joe and said, "We did it, Joe." Where is that oomph? Where is that passion? I'm asking the questions. When we get back, there's someone who does have passion and has plenty of oomph. and his name is Dr. Fauci.
Oompa Loomp.
And he is going to talk to us about trick or treating. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Obviously, we are at the border here in Texas. This is one of, if not the most urgent matter that we're facing in the United States at this time. Our job is to secure the health and safety and security of our constituents. And if Joe Biden's not going to do it, the governors of the United States of America will do it.
That was Governor Greg Abbott in Texas. I think he should have used Joe's own line and said, if Joe Biden's not going to help, at least he can get out of the way. Because in that case, it would be true. The Biden administration is not just standing by and offering no help to the Border Patrol agents in Texas. They are actively making the situation a lot worse. And now, speaking of that, I'm sure a lot of people are still waiting on the results of that investigation into the Border Patrol agents who allegedly whipped Haitian migrants. Of course, it wasn't true. There were not whips. They were reins on the horses. And a lot of eyewitnesses said that there was no whipping happening. But Joe Biden, he didn't wait for that, you know, because it was too good of an opportunity to vilify the Border Patrol agents. So he came out, talked really tough. We're going to get to these people will have to pay. He put on his Clint Eastwood voice and everybody was going to, you know, my word is a Biden. Someone's going to pay for this. But of course, they had to do an investigation because it wasn't looking like their accusations were holding up. Well, we've been waiting on that investigation. We were told that investigation would take days, not weeks, days. Well, it's been weeks, not days. And there's no investigation wrapping up anytime soon. According to Fox News, a spokesperson for DHS said on Saturday in an email that the investigation is ongoing. In other words, it will continue. So that's...
The investigation continued.
We will continue this investigation until people forget that this investigation exists, and then we will say nothing about it. That's basically what they are hoping will happen. But there's a lot of journalists out there, conservative journalists, who aren't going to forget about the scurrilous accusations thrown at these Border Patrol agents who are only doing their jobs, and their jobs are made so difficult by an incompetent leader like Joe Biden. He has the nerve to vilify the people who are in a horrible position because of his inept policies and his desire to reverse everything Trump did just because he has Trump derangement syndrome and so does his base. That's what this comes down to. To make a long story short, as Joe Biden would say. Jared, did you have something on your mind?
Yes, we have an unwoke update. Uh-oh, Governor Kathy Hochul.
Hochul.
Kathy Hochul tweeted, celebrated New York's rich Italian heritage this morning at NYC's 77th annual Columbus Day Parade.
Whoa!
Impeach the governor.
Maybe Andrew Cuomo wasn't that bad after all. I'm kidding, of course. Happy Columbus Day to everyone. Maybe Kathy Hochul can come on this show. She'd be welcome to say that here. I don't know, though, about CNN, MSNBC, any of those places.
We're a safe harbor for you Columbusites.
Yes, we are. All right, another topic that I wanted to hit on, and I'm glad someone pointed this out on social media. Abigail Marone noticed this, as well as some other folks. Politico has a story out, and the headline jumped out at me, not for the reasons they wanted it to. They were writing about Biden's poll numbers. But Jared, I want you to listen to the phrasing of this. And my question for you is, do you think this headline will get changed by the end of the day? And we'll check back in tomorrow and give an update. Here's the headline. The president's decline is alarming. Biden trapped in coronavirus malaise. Now, they're talking about the decline in his poll numbers. But in quotes, it says the president's decline is alarming. I totally agree. For once, I am 100% on board with Politico. I just don't know if this headline is going to stand the test of time.
Oh, no, that will be changed before the end of the day. It'll be Trump to blame for Biden's poll numbers. That'll just be the headline.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that because when, I don't know if it was the writer who was tweeting this out or if it was just a friend of his, but someone tweeted out this column and said, Biden is trapped in a coronavirus malaise and voters in one focus group seem to be blaming him, not Republicans or anti-vaxxers, for the country's failure to return to normal. And this is my third time mentioning Stephen Miller today, but he's a good tweeter. He said, he's trapped, you see, just a helpless old man who can't do anything about it. He can only be failed. This is the narrative they're setting up. Everything that happens to Joe Biden is just, you know, it's natural. There were events out of his control. Like all the gangsters say, he was a victim of circumstance. What was he supposed to do? This isn't his fault. All right, we do have to get to the Dr. Fauci stuff here. This is really incredible. Dr. Fauci, there's been a shift. There has been, I haven't seen this big of a shift, Jared, since the Wuhan lab investigation started coming out and Scott Hounsell and other people were posting Fauci's emails. I have not seen him squirming this hard or backpedaling this hard in quite some time. So last week he's talking about Christmas and he's like, oh, you know, I can't really say I wouldn't plan for anything. And he's basically saying Christmas is going to be like Zoom again this year. And now he's on CNN's State of the Union and he suddenly turned the corner and he thinks that Halloween is going to be A-OK. This is cut one.
I think that particularly if you're vaccinated, but you can get out there. You're outdoors for the most part, at least when my children were out there doing trick-or-treating, and enjoy it. I mean, this is a time that children love. It's a very important part of the year for children. I know my children enjoyed it. So, I mean, again, particularly if you're vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, again, think about it, that you'll add an extra degree of protection to yourself and your children and your family and your community. So it's a good time to reflect on why it's important to get vaccinated, but go out there and enjoy Halloween as well as the other holidays that will be coming up.
I have a few things to say. One, the idea that Fauci suddenly cares about these kids who his guidelines and restrictions and advice, his advice has hurt these kids more than anything in the past 2 years. That's laughable. I would say the Grinch cared more about kids than Dr. Fauci does. But now he's saying, oh, the idea that it's an important time for kids. What about school? What about socializing? What about all the things they missed over the past 2 years? And now suddenly Halloween comes around and you're back on the side of like, oh, it's for the children. Give me a break. But the children love the books. No, we're not buying that, Fauci. And second, at the end, he says it's an important time to reflect on getting vaccinated. As someone who had quite a few Halloweens or trick-or-treating years, probably a few too many, I probably could have stopped at a younger age. I take offense to that idea that Halloween is going to serve as some sort of Fauci PSA where people can sit and reflect on how important the vaccine is. No, 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 no.
How about no?
Halloween is a time where you run around all jacked up on Mountain Dew with a pillowcase. You fill it full of sugary crap and you stuff your face with mini Milky Ways, mini Snickers, mini Twix, and you swindle your brothers and sisters into trading the good candy with the bad candy. You give them all the coconut candy that you don't want. That's what Halloween is about. And it's about going absolutely crazy. In my case, it was about demanding the most outrageous costumes that were incredibly inconvenient. 1 year, I insisted I dress like Drew Bledsoe. My dad said, you can dress like Drew Bledsoe. You do not need the shoulder pads. You're going to be so tired within 5 minutes of this. Nope, needed to wear them, needed to wear the cleats. Within 5 minutes, I was crying to go back home. That's what Halloween's about. It's about being a kid. It's not about, oh, Halloween's going to make you realize how great the vaccine is. Shut up. Must you be such a buzzkill at all times? Ugh. Send shivers down my spine. And then he says that he can't predict when people will be able to take off the mask. This coming from the guy who has been Karnak the Magnificent for the last year and a half. He's been predicting everything. Oh, I'm going to predict that
college football will be back by blah, blah, blah. The first award show will be blah, blah, blah. He's a man full of nothing but doom, gloom, and bad predictions. And now suddenly he's pulling the plug on the predictions. Cut to.
How long do you think it will be until it's safe for vaccinated people to once again be indoors without a mask?
You know, it's always tough to predict that. I think if we continue to go down in the cases that we're seeing right now and more people get vaccinated, as the dynamics of the outbreak, namely the amount of virus circulating in the community, goes down, I hope we'll be able to pull back on some of those restrictions.
Oh, you hope so? Please, he doesn't hope anything of the sort. He hopes this goes on forever. But there is a shift there. You notice that too, right? It's like, oh, he's being a little bit more positive. He's not spewing his same Grim Reaper vibes to all of the hosts. And I think that's because the last time he did that with Christmas, he was met with such fierce backlash. But it brings me to my last point of the day before we bring on Howie. And that is, there's been a shift in more ways than one. And I want to explain why. A few weeks ago, I noticed that I tend to go to a lot of beautiful people towns, not because I am a beautiful person, but because where our office is, where I like to shop. You know, I'm in Chestnut Hill a lot, Milton, Hingham, a lot of these places, a lot of limousine liberals. No problem with it. I'm a Milton girl, but just saying, you know, there's all sorts of signs, hate has no home here and the like. Now, when I go to these places to shop, all of the stores and all of the, you know, Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, everything, they all have the mask requirement on the door. But I started to notice that unlike before, when we were kind of mid-lockdown, if I go into the store without a mask on, no one says anything. No, so far, and I'm talking like big national chain stores that I go into. I was at Derby Street, went into a store. No one says anything. And I mentioned this on air, and a person actually replied to my tweet and said, Grace, I did what you said. I went into a store that had a mask requirement and didn't wear one, and none of the people there said anything. So Will says to me the other day, oh, I went in to a drugstore, and someone actually did say something to me about not wearing a mask. And I said, but was it an employee of the store? And he said, no, it was a customer. It was just some random lady. And I said, all right, so it's a Karen. You know, you're going to run into Karens. But it wasn't someone at the store telling you. And he said, no, it wasn't. So yesterday we go into a big store, national, you know, I'm not going to name the name of it because they were very nice. But we were returning something. We walk in and I said to Will, let's just test it out. Let's go in without a mask on. Every person in the store has a mask on. And I go up and I say, can we return these things? Oh, yeah, no problem. You know, talking, blah, 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 get the returns. They don't say anything. Now, 6 months ago, when there was a mask mandate, they would have said something. I remember because I was told all the time at grocery stores, everywhere, you have to have a mask on. I was told multiple times. Now, two people walk in after us and they do not have masks on. And they ask, they say, excuse me, do we need a mask to come into this store? And the employee of this store, I was very curious what she was going to say. She did not say yes. She did not say no. She said, I have a bowl right here if you want one. Or she might not even said if you want one. She said, I have a bowl of masks right here. But do you know what I'm saying? It was like a very specific non-answer because their question was, do we need a mask in this store? And she didn't say yes or no. What my theory is, because I've thought about this, obviously, got a lot of free time in my hands. My theory is similarly to the shoplifting. Remember how years ago, if you saw someone shoplifting stuff out of your store, you would stop them. But these big stores now tell their employees, don't stop people who are shoplifting. It puts you in too much danger. After the woman in New York City was checking vaccine passports, the hostess at Carmine's, and she got the crap kicked out of her by three people, which was terrible. I have a feeling that these employers started saying, we're going to have the signs up. You're all going to wear masks, but don't start ruffling people's feathers. Just let it go. Does that make sense?
It does. Much like Marty Walsh's theory as to why people aren't working. It's just a theory, but it makes sense.
Thank you. Yeah. If only my job were as important as Marty Walsh's. No, that is my theory. And I've been thinking about it. I don't know if something came up from higher up, like HR or OSHA, or I don't know what. But I just think that there's a method to this madness now. If we will appear as if we are doing this, we will have the masks. People will follow because people are sheep. But if you get the rogue Grace Curley or the rogue Jared Diglio, let them be. And people in those stores see me without one. And I know they're thinking, well, how come she doesn't have to wear one? And I'm thinking, well, I didn't ask permission or forgiveness. I just didn't wear one. I don't know.
It's amazing what happens when you just make that choice.
Yeah, it really is.
That's it. And people respect you for that. The employees respected you for that.
But Jared, it's amazing how many people don't make that choice. It's amazing how many people go along with something. I always say this when people come in, VIPs, make them tell you. At the very least, make them tell you, and you will be surprised how many don't. That's all I'm going to say. The Thunderstorm Air Purifier is one of Eden Pure's best-selling products, and now Eden Pure is offering my listeners a special Thunderstorm 3-pack. You definitely want the 3-pack because Jared has one in his car for his allergies. We keep one in the kitchen for if anyone microwaves fish. Howie's in Florida, but who knows? Jared sometimes brings in some funky stuff.
Eat Indian food.
Yeah, but it's also really good to have in basements.
Yes, I have mine in my basement where I have my comic book room. It's great for just that musty basement-ness that you get. You just plug it in, you turn it on, and it ionizes the air, which creates that super oxygen, and it gets rid of that musty basement smell. It gets rid of that 1970s paper smell. Just anything that you don't want to be sitting in for a while, it gets rid of that. And it can get rid of allergens, pollutants, some viruses. Clean air, it's what we're all looking for. Greta Thunberg, take note, we have clean air here.
Yes, and it's a small device, no air filters required. And the best part is, some of these devices can cost up to $600. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm is reasonably priced, and right now with this deal, other air purifiers, they might cost you a lot of money, not this one. You go to EdenPureDeals.com, you click on my name, you put in code word GRACE3, and you'll save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click my name and use code word GRACE3. That's Grace and the number 3. We will be right back with Howard Lawrence Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley is pure Americana.
I'm so off the cuff. I'm so unpredictable. And I have a leather bomber jacket. I'll take your question anyway, kid.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Just a heads up, I just got a text asking about the code, the promo code for Eden Pure. You can use Grace3, T-H-R-E-E, or just use the number. Either one will work. I just tested them both. Today's car crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Howie Carr, you are live on this Columbus Day. Thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
My pleasure. You know, in the old days in Amherst, I was just reading the autobiography of Calvin Coolidge over the weekend. You know what they call this day?
What?
Mountain Day.
Because
they just said it's the foliage is so fantastic, everybody take the day off and just look at the hills. Look to the hills, as they used to tell us at Deerfield Academy.
Very, very interesting. Howie, I have a headline here and I'd like your reaction. This is from the New York Post. Smoking marijuana could lead to breakthrough COVID cases, study finds.
I don't think this is part of the narrative. Don't they want to encourage people to smoke pot and rot their brains and just lie on the couch and wait for the potato chip deliveries, of which there aren't going to be any more potato chips because they're running short of potato chips because there's nobody to cut up the potatoes and put them in the frying pan, and then when they get them all packaged, there's no one to deliver them in the trucks. There's plenty of potatoes. There's just nobody to process them and get them to the supermarkets.
But Howie, the other part of this is that obviously smoking anything is not usually good for your lungs. But also when you think of marijuana, people tend to pass stuff around. Like people pass the bong around, they pass the joint around, and they get their saliva on it. They share kind of spit. Could that be part of the problem?
I think the biggest thing right now, Grace, the biggest thing with COVID is they're passing the buck.
You know? Oh, passing the bong and passing the buck, all in one crossover. Howie Carr's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. He has a great show planned. This is Columbus Day, and it's been a live show The Grace Curley Show.